Don't go by popularity. Mm-hmm. Don't go by power or prestige or who's got the most money. Go by the person who is following the commandments to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. The very truth of God's word testifies to the fact that a believer who is loving others is himself of God.
Is living the Christian life easy or is it hard? You might be surprised that many people disagree on the answer to that question. Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. If you haven't gone to our website and looked around at the free resources that are there, I'm going to encourage you to do that. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now, I'm going to come back at the end of the broadcast and tell you a little bit more about what's available there, so stay tuned for that. But as for now, we're going to jump right into our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people wonder, how can we live the Christian life? People kind of look for rules to follow. I mean, we are rule-making creatures. We love laws. We love regulations. We love people telling us what to do. We love legalism. But the Christian life is often just simpler than people realize. You know, our big command is what, Bob? The big command is to love, right?
Right.
Love our neighbor. Love Jesus especially.
Right.
Have that mindset. Well, in 3 John verse 11, we get a little principle. I mean, there's several principles of the Christian life, and here's just kind of a helpful, I think, principle. It's this is what John says, and he's writing to Gaius. He says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." So you have this idea of imitation. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Bob?
Yes. The word imitation means to follow or pattern your life after. Of course, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me
right,
as I follow Christ, right? So we're to follow those who've come before us. Hebrews 13:17 says that we are to obey those who rule over you. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. There's a principle all the way through the scriptures that we're imitating the example of godly believers. Now, in this particular book, there's two people, both of whose names start with D, two men.
Right.
And one is a good example, and that's Demetrius. And the other is the bad example, and that's Diotrephes. Now, both are born again. Diotrephes is evidently an elder in a local church. But we're told in verse 9 of 3 John, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them," I think that means among the elders who rule that local church, "does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church."
So what's happening, it sounds like what's happening here is there are Christian workers that are going around, and Diotrephes is refusing to show them hospitality,
refusing
to welcome them into the congregation.
Right.
He's like keeping those missionaries out in the cold, basically.
He's not giving them anything to help them along the way.
I mean, not even John himself. Right? He's not
right.
even receiving John.
Right. And earlier in verse 5, and beloved here is singular, it's referring to Gaius, this one person. He says, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well." Well, the point here is these traveling teachers would go throughout the Roman Empire. Not just Christian, but there were pagan traveling teachers as well. The Christian traveling teachers were to be received by Christians. Obviously, the unbelievers aren't going to receive them. They were to feed them, house them. And then he says to Gaius, send him out in a manner worthy of God. That is, give them something for the rest of his journey. Give them some traveling money.
Right. Like, so, for example, we just had a missionary speak at our church recently, and we gave them money for speaking, but we also took up a special collection.
Right.
That's kind of what John's talking about here.
Exactly.
Right? But that's not what Diotrephes is doing.
Well, that's right. So he says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil. That is, do not imitate the behavior of Diotrephes, the one who loves to be first and who forbids people to help the traveling teachers.
Yeah, so Diotrephes, not only was he himself not helping, he was like preventing other people from trying to give or to help.
Right, so he's a terrible example.
I mean, he's a bad example.
But he says, imitate what is good. He who does good is of God. Now, when he says he who does good is of God, he doesn't mean is born again. He means this person is godly. Mm-hmm. This person's experience springs from the love of God. God is love, and if we are following the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be loving. Of course, that's what Diotrephes is not being. And he says, but Demetrius is, and he says, he who does good is of God, he who does evil has not seen God. This is a perfect tense, and the sense is, this Diotrephes has taken his eyes off Christ. He's no longer living in light of a focus on Christ. All through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, seeing Jesus has a transformative impact.
Right.
In fact, in 1 John 3:2, he says, when he appears, then we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Mm-hmm. To see Jesus has a transforming influence. In fact, I think the person that Moses saw in the Old Testament, remember when his face shone? I think that was the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. It caused his face to shine. It had a tremendous impact on him. And when we see Jesus, we do what is good. But when we take our eyes off of Jesus, well, then we can do what is evil. And the next verse, verse 12, says, Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself.
All right, so now this is the good example. Diotrephes, he's the bad example. Don't imitate him.
Right.
And now John is giving someone Gaius should imitate.
Yes, and what's funny about this, Sean, is if you want to pick the guy that has the most power, it wouldn't be this Demetrius.
Right.
It would be Diotrephes.
Right, because he's the preeminent, he's the boss, he's the religious leader.
He's probably got the most charisma.
Right.
He's probably the one that's got the biggest following, etc. But what he's saying is, don't go by popularity, mm-hmm. don't go by power or prestige or who's got the most money. Go by the person who is, as you said earlier, who is following the commandments to love the Lord your God mm-hmm. and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's Demetrius. And it's interesting, he says he has a good testimony from the truth itself. I don't know if you've thought about that, Sean, but the very truth of God's word testifies to the fact that a believer who is loving others is himself of God. Mm-hmm. The truth itself testifies. It's one of, remember in the Old Testament, two or three witnesses were needed to confirm a matter?
Oh, interesting. Yes.
Well, here's
right.
one of those witnesses, the,
right,
truth itself.
Oh.
And of course, the other testimony is from all. The other believers will testify of this, but so will the truth itself.
And so does John, right? And we
right.
also, you know, so he's saying, listen, I'm telling you, this guy is the real deal.
By the way, it's interesting to refer to God's word as the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It is the truth. Of course, Jesus is also the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this also refers to a divine approval
right.
of Demetrius.
Right. Well, you know, Bob, I have three young children, and it just strikes me how much I can see of myself in them. It's like they are watching you.
Yes.
And you don't even realize it all the time. But then they stand a certain way or do like a certain expression or sigh or just kind of stand with their hands on their hip. And you know, wait a second, they saw me do that.
Right.
And the Christian life, I mean, none of us are born spiritually mature.
That's right.
Right. We need to grow to spiritual maturity. Wouldn't you agree that one of the principles that John is saying here is look for those spiritually mature believers.
Yes.
And do what they do.
Yes. And what's interesting about this, okay, let's put this in our local churches today. John isn't saying, okay, what I want you to do is look at the most popular people in your church.
That's right.
The richest people in your church. The people who are most looked up to in the church. What I want you to do is look around the church and find the people who are most godly. This may be a widow woman
mm-hmm.
who's shut in most of the time and she's a prayer warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And you may look to her and you may say, here's an example I can follow.
Right. And this isn't necessarily the pastor. This isn't someone
no.
who is in religious leadership necessarily.
No, I mean, it could be.
It could be.
But on the other hand, this could be anybody in the assembly who is manifesting the love of God. And so it seems to me that is the pattern. And I like your point about children and their parents, because, you know, I can remember, and there's lots of commercials on TV now about don't, you know, we're not trying to get you to be like your parents. But the right. truth is, we do pick up many of the mannerisms and many of the traits and ways of thinking of our parents.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me as a Christian, some of those things I had to see God cause me to grow in, because some of those things weren't quite right in my parents.
Right.
And so I wanted to see God to change me in those areas.
Right.
But other things, many things I learned from my parents, I am so thankful today that I picked up those keys.
Now, let me flip this around. Okay, we're supposed to imitate people. We're commanded to love, and now we should look at spiritually mature believers to know what love looks like. But let me flip that around. We should also be living lives worthy of imitation for younger believers.
Excellent point. If we're not living that sort of life, then we need to be praying about it and ask God to changing us, especially if we've been believers for 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Absolutely.
Why aren't we mature in Christ?
And you don't need to be behind the pulpit to think about that. Every single believer in a church needs to live a life that is worthy of imitation, that the truth will testify to that this person knows God.
I've got a cute little story to end with. Dr. Earl Rodmacher, who's now with the Lord, traveled all over the country. He spoke like 40 weekends a year. And so it was rare when he'd get to church on Sunday, so he'd go on Wednesday night. And he told the story about how in Oregon, one Wednesday night, he went, and he was at church, and there was an 80-some-year-old woman who barely could make it to church and walking through snow and everything. And she was there. He came in and was complaining about the message before the prayer meeting was lousy and it wasn't any good and everything else. And his wife, Ruth, said, do you notice this other woman over here? She's just rejoicing that she's able to come to church. Earl said, you know, that was a real wake-up call for me.
That is so true, Bob. As believers, we need to live lives of appreciation, not only for the people who come to our church, but for the people in our church. And we need to imitate good wherever we see it.
Amen. Absolutely.
Thank you, Dr. Bob and Sean, for challenging us to appreciate and imitate God's goodness. What a great challenge. Well, maybe this discussion has warmed your heart or taught you something new. If that's the case, I'm going to encourage you to go to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the website, we've got all kinds of free resources that can help you grow. We've got a print magazine. We've got podcasts. We've got blog posts. We even have a theological journal. We believe that what we have on the website can really help you grow, so I hope you do that. You can also make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry to help us continue the work that we're doing. You can do that through faithalone.org as well. You might have questions or comments. If that's the case, we'd love to hear from you. Radio@faithalone.org is our email. That's radio@faithalone.org. I hope you have a wonderful weekend of fun, rest, and worship. Don't miss out on next Monday's show. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.